So today we're going to pick it up with the blessings and the curses. Har Grizim and Har Evel, the Jewish people are going to be set up, if you will, for positivity, for good things, negativity, for things which are the opposite of good. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11 of chapter 27. The Torah says, Vayitzav Moshe es ha'om b'yom ha'u. Moshe Rabbeinu instructed the nation on that day. Leimar saying. Now this is interesting that the Torah uses the terminology Vayitzav. Doesn't say Vayomer, doesn't say he said, doesn't say Vayidaber even, it says Vayitzav. It is actually a rare expression. It's rare. Here, Moshe should command. So the Shachal HaTorah says, because there is a predisposition here to refuse Moshe's request. Why? Well, he's going to have some people standing on Har Grizim, Levorech, and they're going to receive the blessings on behalf of the Jewish people. And then there's going to be other people who are standing on Har Evel, and they're getting the klolos, they're getting the curses. So maybe they weren't so excited about that. They said, oh, curses? We don't want curses. Maybe somebody else should take that. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave them instructions. This wasn't a request. He instructed them. He said, here's what's going to happen. And ultimately, he explained to them that there is neither blessings nor curses that will come indiscriminately. We earn our own blessings, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. So you don't have to be worried about this. This was a command. And when a Moshe Rabbeinu gives an instruction like that, it kind of mollifies people, and it gets them to buy in. They said, okay, we're going to do this. Anyway, that's what the Sif Zikayim says. So this is what he says, Bayeimahu, on that day, this is what's going to happen. Bayeimahu, of course, is the day that they come into the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. Why were Har Evel and Har Grizim chosen for this whole business? The Ibn Ezra and Chizkuni speak about this at length, and they talk about why which Shvatim were chosen. It has to do with B'nai HaGvirais and B'nai HaShvachais, the old rivalries, if you will, or whose Shevet came from which of the matriarchs, from the concubines or from Rachel and Leah. I don't want to get into that, but this is like a whole discussion about this. And here's what's going to happen now. Eilu yamdu levarech esa'am. These are the tribes that will stand in for blessing of the nation. And that will happen on Har Grizim, will happen on Mount Grizim, be'ovruchem esayarnein, when you go over the Yarden. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. So these are the tribes that are going to stand in to receive blessings on behalf of the Jewish people. And today's class is really going to be more about those who will stand in for the opposite. So verse 13, Ve'elu yamdu al haklola, and these are those who will stand in for the opposite of blessing, an Har Evel, Reuven, God, Asher, Zvulun, Don, and Naphtali. Let's take a look in Rashi, on Pasuk Yud Beis. Firstly, the words Levarech es ha'am sounds like they're going to bless the nation. Are they the ones who are going to pronounce blessings? Rashi says no. That's not correct. All of this can best be understood if you take a look in Mesechet Sota. Kedi Issa b'Mesechet Sota. Take a look in the tractate Sota on page 32. And there it is written. Shisha Shvatim Olu L'Reish HaGrizim. Six of the tribes ascended Mount Grizim. Vishisha, L'Reish Har Evel. The other six ascended Mount Abel. The Hakoyanim, the Halavim, the Kohanim and Levim, who were suitable or chosen by Hashem to carry the Ark and to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. The Ha'orin and the Ark itself, L'mata be'emtza, would be in the valley right in the middle, below. The Levites turned their face towards the Mount of Grizim. And they opened in a volley of blessings. And These are the blessings that we're going to hear about. Now, what we're going to soon see is only curses, a whole string of curses, actually. So how do you understand this? So clearly, before there was a curse, there was a blessing. As Rashi says, even though it starts off in the Chumash here, in verse 15, cursed is the person, Asher Yaseh Fesel, who will make an idol. First they said, Baruch HaIsh Asher Lo Yaseh Fesel. First they said, blessed is the person who will not do such and such, like make an idol, etc. The Elu, and all of those standing on both of the mountains, Einin Amen, they respond Amen. Chazru, the Levites then turned, the Hafchu Fneim, Kalape Har Evel, they turned toward Mount Evel. Upaschu Beklolo, then they opened their mouths and began to speak in a negative, imprecation. The Oimrim, and they say, Arur Ha'ish Asher Yaseh Fesel, cursed is the person who would make an idol. Now Rashi adds that there is a Signan Acher, there is another version of this Rashi. And the other version of this Rashi is Ve'elu Ve'elu Einan Amen. Both answer Amen. Chazru V'hofchu Pneim Klapi HaGrizim. Then they turned towards Mount Grizim. Ve'amru Baruch Asher Einei Makle Ovi Ve'imei. Blessed is the person who does not demean the respect and the honor and dignity of his father and mother. V'chezrin V'hofchim Pneim Lahar Evel. And then they turned to Har Evel. Ve'amrim Arur Makle Ovi Ve'imei. And this is how it went with all the blessings. Ad, until the last Arur, the last curse. Arur Ashala Yakim, cursed is the one who does not establish the words of the Torah. That's the scene. That's the scene that was unfolding before the Jewish people when they were standing on Mount Grizim and Har Evel in formation, six tribes on one and six on the other. Now, interestingly, if you take a look here at the words that I used in verse 13, and the words in verse 12, it says, Elu yamdu livarech. These are the ones who will stand livarech to bless. And Rashi had to explain that livarech doesn't mean to bless. They will not be blessing, but rather they will be receiving a blessing. They will be receiving a blessing. However, in verse 13, it says, Elo yamdu al haklala. These are the ones who will stand on the curses. It doesn't say these are the ones who will stand to be cursed. Why is this? So Rashi in Chumash Bamidbar says that Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah does not want to mention, or ultimately Hashem does not want to be mentioned, that they should be cursed. Al haklala, on the curse. It's much easier to talk about a curse in general terms. Not to be cursed. Talk about a curse. Al haklal, livarech, to be blessed. That's very, very overt. Over there is direct. So al haklal, on the curse. The Kli Yoker explains this in a beautiful way. He says, you should know that goodness is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the taiva, all the goodness in the world is Me'es Hashem. But when it comes to curses, he says, they do not come directly, so to speak, from Hashem. As it is written in the book of Echa, in the third chapter, Mi pi elyon loitetze harois, from he who is most high, evil does not come forth. So elyon, mi pi elyon, from Hashem, you don't have the curses that are coming.
Sounds pretty Christian.
Well, where do the curses come from? Well, it says in the Pasuk, Yamdu al haklala. It doesn't say lekalil, stand on the curses, standing on curses, not being cursed. Says the Kli Yoker, because the truth is, the only one who brings a person into a state of curse or curses is the person themselves. And what is the nature of the curse? Not Hashem is cursing the person. It's basically when Hashem, so to speak, turns his face or hides or conceals his presence. So this is not something Hashem doesn't curse. Hashem ceases to bless. It's an act of omission rather than an act of commission. The blessings are closed. The pipeline is closed down, so to speak.
So the default is curses.
It's like darkness that comes when you turn the lights off. The darkness doesn't come from the lights. The light comes from the light. The darkness comes when you don't allow the light in. And that's the levarech al haklala rather than lehikalel. Levarech, light. Light comes from the source of light. Brachas come from the source of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Curses, the opposite of a blessing, that simply means a being devoid of Hashem's presence in your life. That is a curse. That's how the Kli Yarkov explains it. At any rate, we have this idea that it does not say lehi kalel, but rather al haklala. Rav Sadi Goren adds that the words al haklala means during the time of curses, the eis haklala. So now we're going to go into the curses. Even though Rashi mentioned that for every curse there was first a blessing, the Torah explicitly only talks about the curses. The anu halavim, the amru, kol ish yisrael. The Levites will then respond, and the word the anu, according to the Psalm Yigor, means that they will begin. According to Ibn Ezra, this is a similar, see, as a kindred root with the words that we spoke about earlier in this parsha with Bikurim. Bikurim was the firstling fruits, and it says, Ve'anisa ve'amarta. And Rashi explained there that Ve'anisa means haramas kol, the raising of the voice. Say it out loud, loud and proud. So here, in all likelihood, Rashi doesn't have to comment because he already said what Ve'anisa means. So this is the same terminology. We know Rashi doesn't repeat himself twice. So the Levites, the Anu, they will raise their voices. The Amru El Kol Ish Yisrael, they'll say to all of the Jewish people. It's not only some of the tribes, all the tribes. And they'll say it Kol Ram in a booming voice. In a booming voice. What is this booming voice, this loud voice? The Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechta Seita says that this means that the Jewish people, the Levites, pardon me, when they spoke, their voices were magically carried by a divine PA system. An amplification. Hashem amplified their voices. And that's Kol Ram. Kol Ram means that their voice was very loud. It resonated in a booming fashion. So everybody could hear this. And they said, verse 15, Arur ha'ish asher yaseh fesel. Cursed is the person who will make an idol. Umasecha, and a molten figure. Toyavas Hashem. This is an abominable thing before God. It's disgusting before Hashem. It's the hands of a craft. The action is made by a craft person. And the sum basosa, that person will have in his own private recesses, in his own private area, he has this idol. Cursed is that person. That's what the Levite said. And what did the Jewish people say? The anu chol ha'am, all the people responded, Ve'amru, they said, Amen. Amen. We accept that. That's affirmed. Aror makla aveve'imai. Cursed is the person who were to demean his father or mother, strips them of the dignity and respect. Ve'amar kol ha'am, and the whole nation said, Amen. So why do we start first with Aveda Zara? And why is the next thing we talk about the idea of respecting parents? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says that we know that Aveda Zara is shkula keneged kol ha-Torah. That worshipping a foreign deity is a basic abandonment of the entire Torah. Now, the notion of respecting parents, it's not like a nice thing to do because they changed your diapers and woke up for you when you were a baby. That's not what it's about. Rather, shleisha shutfim ba'adam, there are three partners, if you will, in the creation of every single human being. A father, a mother, and God. So since we have Shlesha Shutfim, since we have three partners, so therefore we have this notion that respect for parents is ultimately an extension of respect for Hashem himself. And that's why Rabbeinu Bechaya says, after talking about respecting God, the next thing we talk about is the respect of parents. The Torah goes on, Aru Masig Vuda Yeyu, cursed is the person who were to encroach on his friend's borders or boundaries. The Omar Kol ha'am amin. This is really talking about the land of Israel, because Hasagas Gvul, in a broader sense, means that a person is not allowed to encroach on somebody else's business. You're not allowed to take away somebody else's commerce, like open up a store next or a business next door and undermine somebody else's opportunity. But in a particular sense, it means you're not allowed to literally encroach or move the border to steal land. And whilst you're not allowed to steal ever in Eretz Yisrael, there's a special prohibition. So this mitzvah would be unique also to Eretz Yisrael. So we talk about God, respect for parents, and the next thing is how we have to treat the land of Israel with an added measure of care and concern when it comes to to the concept of ownership and Eretz Yisrael, not to tamper Chas Hashem with the ownership of the Holy Land of Israel. Rashi says, what's the business of Makla Aviv in verse 16? What does it mean? What's Makla, he says? Makla means mezalzel. It means to demean. Lashain v'nikla achicha. This is an expression of somebody who is being disgraced. It's talking about an individual who was convicted of a crime and had to receive flogging. And then it says v'nikla achicha. You flog him one time too many, or maybe he loses his bowels, and this is a great state of shame. So that's the same kind of idea. Masig vul, what's this notion of literally encroaching on a border? Rashi says that means machazire la'achidev. He pushes the border, pushes the fence, maybe surreptitiously, maybe at night when his friend goes on vacation. I don't know what he does, but he pushes it. He finds a way to push and move the fence. Machazire la'achidev ve'geinev, and he steals esakarka. He surreptitiously usurps somebody else's land, which we know this is only in the land of Eretz Yisrael, as the Rambam tells us. Lashon v'husag ocher. This is the terminology which is found in the book of Yeshayahu, which means, over there it means literally that the justice is pushed. The envelope of justice is pushed. As if it was pushing the wicked back through justice. But here it means, mas tigmul would mean literally to push the border. Verse 18. Arur mashge iver badarach. Cursed is the person who would cause a blind individual to stumble on his way. The Amar kol ha'am. And all of the nation responded, and they said, Amen. Mashge Iver, says Rashi, what is this referring to? It does not refer to only a blind person. I mean, if somebody is that sick and that twisted that they will put a stumbling block in front of a blind person who's trying to make his way down a path, that also would be a prohibition. That's also something which the Torah says he's not allowed to do. But it's not only speaking about a person who's literally blind. Rashi says this has to be understood figuratively. Suma bedavar, a person who is blind in an area, meaning they have a blind spot. Just like every driver has blind spots. You know, blind, how could you drive if you're blind? But you have blind spots. It's an area that you weren't clear about, an area where you didn't have a sense of precision. You didn't realize. You were like in a state of confusion. And then your masiya etzadar, you give him bad advice. So a person who does that would be cursed. Arur mate mishpat ger yosem va'almana. Cursed is an individual who would twist or pervert the justice of a convert who has a low self-esteem, of an orphan who feels abandoned, and almana, these are all people with low self-esteem, and they're susceptible to be able to be twisted and turned and maybe taken advantage of. V'yomar kol ha'am, amen. Everybody responded, and they said, we affirm that. Arur sheichiv im'eshes aviv. Cursed is the person who would commit an act of a repugnant kind of adultery. An incest, where a person will sleep with his father's wife. Kigila knaf aviv. In doing so, he uncovers, so to speak, the hem of his father. Va'omar kol ha'om amen. Or sheichivim kol behema. Cursed is the person who would sleep in an intimate way with an animal. Va'omar kol ha'om amen. Or sheichivim achosei bas aviv. Cursed is the person who would be intimate with his sister, the daughter of his father, or basimai. So even if it's a sister, only a half-sister, va'omer kala'om, amen. Or resheichavim schoichsante, cursed is the person who would sleep with their in-law, parent-in-law, va'omer kala'om, and the nation all said, amen. Or maker e'ehu basaser, cursed is the person who would strike somebody surreptitiously, va'omer kala'om, amen. A lot of curses here. What does it mean, maker e'ehu besaser? Rashi says this does not refer to a literal assault. What's the difference if you hit somebody when other people saw, or if you hit somebody quietly? What's the difference? Hitting is hitting. Assaulting is assaulting. What's the business of speaking, hitting him privately? So Rashi says, Alashon hara hu ayim. This is referring to gossip. And Rashi adds, Ra'isi b'yaseidah shel Rabbi Meisha Hadarshan. I saw in the Foundations, which is really the name of the book, that was written by a famous Rabbi Moshe, was known as the outstanding preacher of his time. And Rav Moshe HaDarshan, he wrote the following. Achad asar arurin yeshkan. There are 11 curses. But that's funny, because you would think there should be 12 curses, because there are 12 tribes. So he says that's connected Yud Aleph Shvatim. That corresponds to 11 tribes. In other words, as we're going to see, the tribe of Shimon was not cursed. Why was the tribe of Shimon left alone? Keneged Shimon lekasav arur. Corresponding to Shimon, it doesn't say the word arur. Lefishalei hoya belibe levarche. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the intention to bless the tribe of Shimon if they also before his passing. Kishabeirach sha'or hashvatim, when he blesses the other tribes. So since he wasn't going to go ahead and bless them because of the story of Zimri ben Salu and that terrible situation which imperiled the entirety of the Jewish nation, and Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to respond and he was personally offended by it, l'chach le'ratza l'kalle. He said, if I'm not going to bless him, then I shouldn't be the one cursing him either. And the 11th curse is in the next pasuk, arur le'keach shechet. Cursed is the person who would take bribery, l'hakeh is dam nefesh naki, so to convict somebody wrongly so that somebody would be chas v'shalom, put to death, but in an unfair way. The Amar Kala Am, and the nation said, Amen. All right, so Rashi says that the number 11, corresponds to 11 tribes. Which tribe is not included? Shimon's not included. Okay, so which curses go for which tribes then? Because it says 11 curses for 11 tribes. Nobody talks about that. But the Rebbe did. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to take a look in Beauty of Chumash. And this is really fascinating. The Rebbe is going to go through the 11 different curses. And he's going to show you how each one of the tribes would have a predisposition to evil. A preponderance, a weakness, spiritual weakness, in doing one of these things. And that's why when a person has a spiritual preponderance or weakness, that's where you have to really worry. That's what you got to worry about. When somebody is seemingly predisposed. And I would only add before we begin, predisposition does not mean that you have to do this. Predisposition means you have to take extra caution. So, for example, a person who grew up in a family where there was addiction. And their parents grew up in families where there was addiction. Doesn't it mean they will be an addict? No. It does mean that they are predisposed to addiction. And that's going to be their weakness. They have to be very careful about that. So when you have a weakness in an area, then that's an area you have to take extra care with. People today know about genetics, they know about diseases that parents or grandparents or great-grandparents may have had. So what does that do for you? Well, you take preventive measures. If you know there's heart disease in a family, so then there are things you can do to strengthen a heart. If you know, chas v'shalom, there's a predisposed to some other kind of ailment, there's various things you could do holistically. You can't fight a disease that doesn't exist, but you could strengthen other areas. And holistically, enable the person so you shouldn't end up in this weakness, in the bad situation. So this is the same thing is true, of course, on a spiritual level. Page Pei Zion, Pasuk, pardon me, Simen Chav Beis, so it's chapter 22 of verse of Pashuk Yisavai. The Rebbe says, Yesh lefarash es ha-hakbala. We could perhaps take Rashi a little bit further now and develop the corollary between achad asar arurim, between the 11 curses, la'achad asar ha-shvatim, and the 11 shvatim. All we know so far from Rashi is that Shimon wasn't included. Which curse goes to who? I don't know. But there should be a corollary. It wasn't just a number. If Shimon's not included, then it means that the other ones have a special connection to each of these things. So the Rebbe suggests that we're going to see this will be based al pi hayadu alanu mikvar. This is going to be based on information we already have previously from what these tribes did. And chul shoysav, the weaknesses of kol echad mashvatim, of each of the tribes. And if you have a weakness, that's mechayves azhara miyuchedes. If you have a weakness, then you have to be especially careful b'tchum mesuyim, in a particular area. So emphasizing a weakness does not mean that if you're a member of that tribe, you're going to do this aveda. It does mean that if you're a member of that tribe, you should be more careful because there's a preponderance. All right, let's start off with the idea of the pesel. We said cursed is the person who doesn't make an idol. The Rebbe suggests that this corresponds to the Shevet Dun, because Dun established in their territory a terrible situation of an egel. Not one, actually two. That was the false base on Migdash that they built. And there was two golden calves established over there. And the child, which should know this already, even though the child hasn't come yet to the story that's going to be found much later on in Tanakh after the Jewish people divide. Nonetheless, the truth is that we heard about this in Parshas Lech Lecha. It says about Avraham Avinu, by Yirdef Ad Don. He chased the enemies that he was fighting until Don, to the land of Don. He didn't go further. So Rashi said, why didn't he go further? Why only till Don? So Rashi says, Shom Toshash Cheche. There Avraham Avinu was overcome with weakness. Shera, because he foresaw, Sha'asidim Bon of Lahamet Shom Egel. So Avraham Avinu was weakened by a sin that would happen literally centuries upon centuries later, Avraham Avinu already had a predisposition and an awareness. So now we have Dan. Dan has to watch out for idolatry. How about makla ava ve'ime, demeaning father and mother, lack of respect for parents? Keneged shevet Asher. This would correspond to Asher. Why? Because about Asher, we already learned in the blessings of Yaakov Avinu, that it says over there, may Asher shmeina lachme, that Asher's bread was very rich. V'hu yitin madani melech, and he gives the delicacies, royal delicacies. Kiloimar, in other words, shabon avasidim, lichyes chayeshefa v'ravocho, that Asher's children would live in great opulence, in great wealth. Everything they would have would be rich. Davar sha'olu lahavi es b'nei ha'dor ha'tzayir. What happens when the family is too rich, when kids have too much money? No, we're living it. They're entitled. They're entitled. And all of a sudden, they are predisposed, and as a result, l'mardonos, to rebellion, keneged hareyim. Who are you to tell me what to do? Just pay my car and give me my things, and that's it, and bug off. That's your job. You have to give me. Like it says in the parsha of Ben Soirer u'Meirer, which you read in last week's parsha, Baneinu zeh Soirer u'Meirer, this child of ours is turning off the path, he's rebellious. Einenu shomea b'koleinu, he doesn't listen to us. Why? Zoylel v'soivei, because he indulges, he overindulges. So overindulgence, too much materialism, is not a healthy thing. And it could lead to a weakness and a breakdown of respect for the parents. This is a very common thing today. Very common, where children do not have respect for parents. Where does it come from? It comes from all this wealth that people have. Too much. Cursed is the one who encroaches on the border. The Rebbe suggests that corresponds to the tribe of Yisachar. About Yisachar, it is written in Parshas Vayechi, Yisachar chamer gorem. Yisachar is likened to a bony donkey, a thick, heavy-boned donkey. Revitz ben ha-mishpasayim, he crouches between the borders. That's like the original tractor trailer. That's how things were transported with a donkey. Kiloimar shehu shoychen samach l'gvulis arim. That sounds like he's like close to the borders. Well, if he's close to the borders, he might push the border a little. And therefore we have this connection between the border, pushing the border, and the tribe of Yisachar. Cursed is the one who is mashge iver badarach, who's going to give a stumbling block to the blind, which as Rashi explained refers to bad advice. This would correspond to the tribe of Binyamin. Where do we see Binyamin gave bad advice? They give some very bad advice. We see this when the Jewish people decided to retreat after the death of Aaron. 39 years after leaving Egypt, after going through all the travail, Aaron dies, the Anani HaKavod lift, what's the next thing that happens? The next thing is, there's a group of Jews say, that's it, forget it, we can never do this, back to Egypt. And Binyamin was the leaders. How do we know this? Because Rashi notes that there's entire families that are missing from the tribe of Binyamin. Whole families are massacred. There was also Levites who went to fight with him, they were also massacred. So we have whole families massacred, and since the families are missing that are from Shevet Binyamin, that tells us that Binyamin was predisposed to some very bad advice. They gave the Jewish people, they led them in a very, very terrible failed mission, which was aborted, but with a very heavy price. Arar mate mishpat, cursed is the one who is going to twist or pervert justice. This would correspond to the tribe of Yehuda. Yehuda will produce the magistrates who will administer justice. As it is written in the blessings of Yaakov Avinu, La Yosar Shevet Mi Yehuda, that there will be no tribe will depart from Yehuda, Umechoikik, and a lawgiver, Mi Bein Ragla, from between him, between his legs. So therefore we have this idea that Yehuda is the progenitor of the Shoftim, of the judges, and some of the most famous judges actually were from the tribe of Yehuda. Boaz, leader of the Jewish people, Shoftet, from the tribe of Yehuda. So therefore those who are going to be sitting in that justice's seat are the ones who are most possible, the most susceptible for the twisting, chas v'shalom, or perversion of justice. Or sheichiv meishes aviv, cursed is the person who sleeps with his father's mother, his father's wife, pardon me, who is this correspond to? Keneged shevet Yehuda. As it's Reuven, pardon me, sorry. As it says, what did Reuven do? The story of Yaakov. Vayelech Reuven vayishkav es Bila peleges shaviv. Reuven went and he lied with his father's concubine Bila. And that's a story in and of itself and beyond the purview of the next 30 seconds, but it doesn't really mean that he slept with her. He just decided to move his father's bed and so on and so forth, but it shows a predisposition, a certain weakness in that area, and therefore that would correspond to the tribe of Reuven. That's the weakness. That's what they need to be warned with. It's like, when do you give a warning to somebody? When you know they might do it. Like, you know somebody has a weakness. You say, don't do this. Don't get too close to your animals. Who would that refer to? Which tribe was very close with their animals? God. God said we had miknerav. God was more worried about his sheep than he's worried about his family. Who was too close with his sister? Well, here we would have the problem, perhaps, with the tribe of Naphtali. Because Naphtali, the name Naphtali, was given the words of Rachel, who said, Naftuli Elikim Niftalti Machoisi. Hashem has connected me, has linked me with my sister, because she had a child through Bilhah, and she felt vicariously as if she had given this child, birth to this child, and therefore she said, now I am able to be, so to speak, connected. I caught up. So that terminology is then, even the name, since that's the name of the tribe, the name of the tribe is based on its origin, its organic, the organic origin means closeness to a sister. It means Rachel to Leah, fine, that's not the point. But since the name Naphtali comes from closeness to a sister, that's why this curse would be specifically something that the tribe of Naphtali would receive. That's they would have a weakness. Or Sheikhavim Chisante, who almost ended up in a situation where, God forbid, was been intimate with his mother-in-law. Who is that?
Yosef.
Yosef was very close to Eishes Potiphar. In the end, he had to run, leave his jacket in her hands. And what happened later? She became
mother-in-law.
The mother-in-law. I call that a mother-in-law from hell. That's a serious mother-in-law. But that's what it was. That's what it was, right?
The original.
So Yosef was in that situation. And we know the Lassus is Malachta. He came and he had in mind that's where he was going. Finally, number 10, Makere Eyu Besasser. This is the idea of striking surreptitiously. And even though Rashi told us this is talking about Lashon Hara, but the words used are striking. And who came and struck without telling anybody? Levi. Levi came together with Shimon. I know, but Shimon's not getting cursed. So therefore, who bore the brunt? Levi bore the brunt. It's not an arur. It's not, you're missing the point. It's not a curse. Did a mitzvah, why should it be cursed? There's a predisposition to certain behavior. When you're predisposed to certain weakness, so that's when you get an extra warning. Nobody here is getting anything bad. Everybody here is being led on the straight and narrow. Arur lekech sheichad. Cursed is the one who takes the notion of bribery. Who would have a weakness here? This is the idea of Zevulun. Who was Zevulun? What was Zevulun's industry?
Business, merchants.
They were the bankers. And because they're so involved in money and banking, what's the likelihood that they might become swept away with a weakness for additional profit or payback or kickback? And now you have 11 curses directly corresponding to the possible predisposition to evil of all 11 tribes. And Shimon, as we learned in Rashi, was left out because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want even to mention anything since he wasn't going to bless him.
Very nice.